good afternoon. Welcome to the First Coaches Show with Head Coach Mike Smith and quarterback Matt Rhines, our player guest here today in our second half hour with Dave Archer. West Durham on a victory Monday for Atlanta, 37-34, the final yesterday at the Georgia Dome. We got a little free football with the Falcons and Saints, and boy, you got your money's worth if you went yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I think I tweeted out yesterday that if you didn't have a heartbeat, then you didn't have a heartbeat if you didn't like that game. So it was everything you wanted. Two gunslingers going head-to-head.
Right.
Breeze and Ryan, what that has to offer, and really the rivalry that's attached to that, phenomenal.
Dave, when you look at the ball game, and my goodness, highs, lows, I mean, one half to the next, one quarter to the next, and then at the end of the ball game, really one possession to the next. It was kind of remarkable for a first ball game for both these clubs that you got that kind of environment, that kind of emotion. But I guess in some ways, as we said in the second half, this is what you've come to expect from New Orleans and Atlanta.
I wasn't surprised at all. I think that if you knew that both offenses were going to operate at a high level, I think really the only question mark you had was, would Atlanta be able to move the football like New Orleans was going to move it against you, where you're going to be able to move it against their defense? That was the number four defense in the NFL a year ago.
Right.
Sacked the quarterback 50 times. In fact, sacked Ryan in the two games they played in 13. They sacked him 8 times in those two games. So were you going to be able to match Drew Brees' firepower? Well, it was a resounding yes, and I think there were several key moments, which we'll discuss with Smitty and with Matt Ryan today, that happened in the game that had to happen in the sequence and at the time that they happened. We're not sitting here talking about a 37-34 win.
All right, give me two or three things from yesterday that surprised you. Because I think there were so many questions coming into the ball game, you know, and you mentioned two or three of them right there. What are the one or two things that really caught your eye?
Well, the biggest surprise to me was the area that was the most discussed in the preseason was the Falcon offensive line. And not that they were able to protect, but who was protecting? You had no idea Jake Matthews would go down. It's always part of the game that somebody goes down with an injury, but Jake goes down with an injury.
Right.
And you had a little bit of a shuttle game going on at right tackle anyway. They had already decided pregame that Lamar Holmes was going to play and that Gabe Kareem would relieve him at some point and play as well, and they were going to shuttle those two back and forth. All of a sudden, Jake Matthews is down, and now Gabe Kareem has to slide over and be the guy on that blind side, and Lamar Holmes has to come back in, who had struggled early in the game, to take off the right tackle. So my biggest surprise was that without your number one draft pick in the game, you were that solid on the offensive front. Now, Ryan scrambled and made some plays. Let's make no mistake about that. But the interior part of the offensive line, which is what you were hoping it was going to be, Holly at center, Asamoah at right guard, and Blaylock, they were able to stay stout enough up front to allow Ryan to climb in the pocket, and when it did disintegrate, he could escape one way or the other and make plays, and he did it numerous times.
I thought that was, you're right, I think arguably the middle three, the center Joe Holly, who I thought played great, and then Asamoah and Blaylock really gave you some stability to work from.
Absolutely, and I think that's what they were looking for. John Asamoah came in here to be one of those stout guys at the right guard position that was going to give that stoutness in the middle. What do we talk about Drew Brees all the time? Brees is a short setter, but those three interior offensive linemen are so good at defeating penetration, they allow him to climb in the pocket.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this offensive line allowed Matt Ryan to do yesterday.
Always great on these Mondays, particularly these victory Mondays, to spend some time with the head coach of the Falcons. Mike Smith joins us here live at Flowery Branch on the Coach's Show here on 92.9 The Game. Congratulations, huh?
Well, thank you. It was a hard-fought game that went into a little bit of overtime, and I thought our guys handled the ups and downs in the roller coaster of a hard-fought football game.
Smitty, it was a game that two rivals, physical game, little chippiness attached to it, which you would expect all the time. But so much was talked about in the preseason and well documented on Hard Knocks about toughness and all that physical play. I thought it showed itself in a number of ways. The way your guys battled, the way guys stepped up when they maybe not expected to play, and then the tough-mindedness that kept you in a game, which you could have very easily said, okay, well, we gave up the good fight, we can let this one go.
Well, I think that we showed we were a very resilient group, physically and mentally. I think we wore them down at times with the tempo of our offense, and it was going to be one of those games that was going to go back and forth. That's a good football team. In a rivalry game, usually comes down to a a play here or a play there, and we were very fortunate to make those plays, and we had a lot of guys step up and be a good teammate.
You look at the – and Dave and I were just talking about it, the ebb and flow of a ball game. Boy, that's a lot for week one. I mean, do you think about – obviously, you don't think about it when you're going through it yesterday, but in review here last night and maybe earlier today, anything surprise you about the emotional swings that went through in that ball game, Smitty?
Well, I was very excited, and we were as a coaching staff for – us to evaluate the film and see some guys that didn't necessarily practice in those roles that they had to play in the game and stepped up and did it. You know, Gabe Kareemi had to come in at halftime and play the left tackle and thought he did a very nice job. There were some other players that had to help us on special teams in new roles and that they stepped up. You know, it was great to see Devin Hester, who everybody thought was going to just be a specialist and a punt returner. And, you know, when Devin came in for his free agent visit, one of the first conversations we had with him was he wanted to make sure that he was not just a guy that was going to return kicks and punts. He wanted to compete for a wide receiver position. And to me, that tells you a whole lot about the guy. We spent some time with him at the Pro Bowl when we did the Pro Bowl a couple years ago and got a chance to spend a week with him. But he's a very competitive guy, and he's earned the right to play on our offense and play in the wide receiver rotation.
Well, you recognize the voice. It's head coach Mike Smith here on the Mike Smith Show on 92.9 The Game. Smitty, moments of games seem to play out more in these kind of games because you know it's going to be back and forth. Down 13-0, 3rd and 8 in your own end of the field, and all of a sudden your quarterback gets good protection, and he finds the guy you're talking about in Devin Hester on the fade route. How big a moment was that in the game, knowing that maybe we were starting to bail water a little bit at that point?
Well, that was a critical third down conversion. Matt made a spot-on throw, and I thought that Devin did a very good job of not letting the return – cover man know that the ball is coming in. And that's, you know, those are the little things that we see as coaches that are big plays. But that was a very big play for us. And even before that, Dave, for our defense, who was playing a very good offense, to hold the Saints to 2 field goal attempts there and weather that early barrage of Drew Brees and that offense was critical. But that was probably the catapult moment for us, to get off of our own, our own side of the field and get on the plus side of the 50.
Well, great, as you talk about, Devin Hester with the great late hands. And if you don't know what that means at home, it's a wide receiver that's not going to give away that the ball's coming until the very end. And all of a sudden, Devin flashes the hands just as the ball got there to secure the catch and a monster conversion. And then it bookend, because at the end of the drive, your rookie comes in off the bench and Devontae Freeman and makes as big a play at the back end of it with a throw that's short of the first down. He splits 2 defenders and gets the first down inside the 5.
Yeah, that was a big red zone play for us, and that helped us immensely because we were 100% in our red zone efficiency, and Devontae basically willed himself there at the end to get those last couple of yards. So there were a lot of moments in that game that if they would have went a different direction, could have changed the outcome. And that's the great thing about a rivalry game is you get an opportunity to talk about those moments. And I know probably down the road south here, they've got a different complete slant on it than we do here in Atlanta right now.
How much of this do you have to say, okay, week one we did pretty well here. We've got some other things we want to polish up. We still got 15 more of these, right? I mean, you can't let the momentum of week one disturb what your preparation is going forward, right?
2 minutes.
Yes. It's very apparent that we got a lot of things to work on in all 4 phases of the game. And I'll start with coaching. There were some things that, that we have to do. I thought that the game plan was excellent. It was the first time we were out there again with 53 men in a rotation, all that. I've got to be better. Everybody's got to be better. And then there's definitely some things that we have to get addressed from week one to week two, even though there were some really positive things that were taken. And you got to take them as one individual game. And once that game is over, you make the corrections and you move on to the next game. And you kind of got to wipe the slate clean on what happened last Sunday, because it's going to have no bearing on what's going to happen this week up in Cincinnati.
Well, in a game that had 71 points in it, we want to talk to Smitty again. We're going to continue to talk to Smitty here after the break about some plays that were made on the defensive side of the ball. Even though 71 points were scored, two defensive plays told the story, Wes, in this game late in the game, and then obviously the play of the quarterback, who we'll visit with in the back half of the show.
Yeah, we'll talk with Matt Ryan about a career day. The Falcons did set a franchise record in total offense as well. We'll talk with Coach Smith about that and more when we continue from Flowery Branch. A Victory Monday edition of the Coach's Show with Mike Smith continues after this on 92.9 The Game. Always head coach Mike Smith with us in the first half hour. Don't forget, Falcon fans, you have a chance to save up to $160 at Kauffman Tire every game this season. For each quarter the Falcons score, fans will save $40 at any Kauffman Tire store the next day. Of course, yesterday they scored in three quarters, so fans save $120 on a new set of four tires. Today only, though, get to Kauffman Tire today while there's still time. This season, when the Falcons score, you score. All at KauffmanTire.com or your nearest Kauffman Tire store for all the details. Kauffman Tire, the tire guys you can trust.
And, that's pretty good math by you.
Yeah, it was quick. It's nice. Fortunately, had a calculator here to work it all out. Coach Mike Smith with us, 37-34 in overtime yesterday. We saw in the preseason through the documentary or the show and every, among other things, the composition of this football team and the way it kind of came together. And you mentioned something interesting in our first segment here. Roles that guys maybe didn't practice very much, they were asked to play yesterday. Dave noted this, and it was on the drive, I think, that got to Bryant's first field goal to get the game into overtime. The insertion of Eric Weems. And here's a guy who, what, re-signed August 20-something, has now come back and helped your team, not just in special teams. Yesterday off the line of scrimmage a couple times he helped you.
Yes, he did. And that's very rewarding to see as a coach, to have guys come in and play a specific role and do it well. And it's great to have Eric back. He's going to be a top-notch special teams player for us, and he will have a role in our offense. As I've been saying, we don't have 11 starters on offense, and we don't have 11 starters on defense. You can't, in my mind, you can't say that Devin Hester's not a starter on offense.
Yeah.
And then there's you know, a couple guys that come in on our different packages on defense that you can't say that they're not starters. That's the way that this team is built. Is it's built to try to accentuate guys' positives and put them in situations where they don't, you know, that they don't have to do things that they're not really efficient at. And they did some good things yesterday.
For those of you that didn't see it or maybe missed it, one of the little things that Wes just referred to and Smitty just commented on was Eric Weems being inserted in the lineup to chip on Cameron Jordan. And I don't think that Cameron Jordan could spell his own name after the hit. He dropped the hammer on him on a chip block. Rewind your DVR and take a look at it. Eric Weems dropped the hammer on Cameron Jordan. Smitty, I mentioned before we went to the break, the two defensive plays, the interception in the end zone by Bobby Mack, Robert McClain, the interception to thwart that drive to keep points off the board, and, of course, William Moore's strip of Colston at the end to set up the game-winning field goal. How difficult is it from a mindset defensively that a team's moving the ball on you and they're putting points on the board, that you continue to keep playing because you never know when that moment's going to come or you're going to change the game?
Yeah, I thought that there in the second half we came out and we started fast. Offensively, we took the opening kickoff the second half down the field, mm-hmm. And scored, got us, you know, back into the ball game and made the game very manageable. And then to get the turnover, it's huge. That was an opportunity for them to score, and Robert had a great play, played the ball extremely well, knew where he was on the field, was able to intercept the ball in the end zone, and that's a critical play in the ball game. That's one of those four or five that we talk about, you know. And then that critical play in overtime where William Moore takes a swipe at the ball and knocks it out from Marquise Colston, and then we have Joplo Bar two running to the football and scooping it up. That was a game changer. And when we got in that situation, we felt very comfortable with where we were. We were within range for Matt Bryant, and we just knew that we had to make sure that we did not lose possession of the football, because he was on yesterday in terms of the way the ball was coming off of his foot in pregame warm-up. And actually earlier in the week on Monday, we did some long-distance kicks, and people would be surprised how powerful a leg that that guy has.
Well, that answers one of the questions I had for you. Is I think a lot of fans got nervous in the fact that you were settling for a 50. It seemed to be settling. Now, obviously, you're trying to punch a run through there, but if it didn't work, you were okay with the 52. You're obviously, you just answered that question. You were very comfortable with your guy going and knocking it through. The second part of it was, so often there's too much made of adjustments at halftime and all that kind of stuff, but then there's times that you do some things at halftime. It looked like that you said the team started fast, and obviously the offense kick-started it with that great drive to start the half. Did you do something a little bit different defensively, because it looked like they really kind of settled down? You didn't hear Brandon Cook's names mentioned very much. I mean, you took some of their weapons away from them.
Yeah, I thought that Mike and the defensive staff came out halftime with a little different game plan. Obviously, we had trouble in the first half slowing them down. We made some adjustments, and the guys took to them very well. And, you know, we got those two stops on the first two drives, and you're not going to stop an offense like the New Orleans Saints that's led by Drew Brees every time they take possession of the football. But I thought that the adjustments were spot on, gave them a couple of different looks, and the guys executed much better there in the second half. We were more efficient stopping the run. Their efficiency running the football there in the second half wasn't nearly as good as it was there in the first half.
It's also interesting, and you mentioned, you know, I keep talking about these first game, and it just so happens the first game's against a rival, and, you know, a big emotion will win and those kinds of things. But yesterday, and you mentioned doing things maybe better coaching, I thought your communication and your personnel stuff and all that, all those things yesterday in terms of getting the package on the field you wanted, really, both offensively and defensively, seemed to go pretty well for the most part yesterday.
It did. Offensively, I thought that we controlled the tempo of the football game. That's what we wanted to do. I thought Matt had a great command, knew when we could push it, knew when we had to sit back and let them show their hand. And that's a little bit of the cat and mouse between a quarterback that's calling plays at the line of scrimmage and in a defensive group that's going to try to disguise and not show what they're in right off the bat. And I thought that was good. I thought the defense did a good job communicating in the noise, because let me tell you, that was deafening. Our fans were outstanding. And yes, it's hard on the New Orleans Saints offense, but it's also hard on the Atlanta Falcons defense. And it was as loud as I've seen it in the dome, or as loud as any game that we've played in the last 7 years. And I thought we did a good job with our hand signals. There were really three incidents in the game where we didn't communicate, and we gave up two explosive passes in the ball game because we didn't communicate. It was really not about them; it was about us, and we didn't do a good job communicating.
Smitty, certainly Steven Jackson paid you off and then some with your resting of him, making sure he was fully ready to go for you on opening day. The use of the four backs, it was brilliant how all four got in the game. Was that orchestrated, or is that more of a feel thing? What did you have to do with the backs there?
Well, it was great to have Steven back. Steven did a nice job running the ball. We have plans and have had plans to get the ball into our playmakers' hands. And the other three backs have shown through the preseason that they deserve opportunities to touch the football. You know, I can't say that it's always going to be that balanced. You know, it'll depend on the, you know, on the game plan and how people are trying to defend us. But we have a group of running backs that can create some explosive plays, and they did it yesterday. All of them. Steven had an explosive run on a draw. We already talked about Devontae's explosive run on third down. Quez had an unbelievable run that he bounced off about three or four tacklers, and then Antone Smith had, you know, had the screen. So those four guys contributed to the 14 explosive plays that we had in the ball game.
Smitty, here in our final couple minutes, take all this, and now a couple old guys from the Ravens meeting room get together, huh?
Yep.
What a great win for Marvin Lewis and his squad yesterday. I mean, they get a huge long TD pass in the final 5 minutes to A.J. Green to win a division game on the road yesterday at Baltimore.
Yes, Cincinnati's got a very good football team. That was a big win for them. I know the rivalry that between Cincinnati and Baltimore. It's going to be a challenge for us. We're going to be playing a very good team. They've been to three division, three playoff appearances in the last 3 years. So we're going to have our hands full. I can tell you this, our football team has already put the Saints behind, and we did that this morning, and we are on to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, it certainly tastes a lot better when we kicked the Saints to the curb yesterday. I know that.
Well, everything's a little bit better on Sunday evening when you get a big division win, especially against a division rival.
You're right. Smitty, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you,
Falcons
guys.
Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us. Stay tuned. There's more of the Coaches Show. Quarterback Matt Ryan joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.